Hey everybody, welcome to another show, another Paranormal Straight Talk.
Good evening.
I am Dave Giuliano, and with me...
Marty Haynes.
Tonight we have a guest from the same state I live in, Pennsylvania. It's Bob Christopher from NEPA Paranormal. Bob, you there?
Yep. How you doing, Dave? How you doing, Marty?
How you doing?
All right, we're going to have a couple more of your guys joining us as soon as they can... call in here.
Hey, Dave, I'm here.
Oh, we got Dave. Is that you?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, we got Dave Conklin from NEPA Paranormal. That is a mouthful to say. I see why they say NEPA now. I thought the South Jersey Best Research was long. That's all right. The first thing we always start off with the basic questions, the questions you guys get asked a million times, because I know, you know, sometimes. It gets tiresome of answering the same questions over and over, so I like to pass that along to other researchers, too. Mm-hmm. So how did you guys get started in the paranormal? I mean, what got you into the whole field from the very beginning? Like,
well, personally, myself, you know, a long time ago, I had a lot of paranormal experiences. The house we grew up in, I would definitely deem as a haunted house. And, you know, I don't want to give away my age, but back then... I mean, there was just not a lot of groups out there to help you. And, you know, you couldn't really turn to anybody for any kind of help. You know, your neighbor, you told your neighbor something about this, they'd look at you like you were crazy, you know. And, you know, as I grew up, I kind of, you know, adapted to it. And I read a lot more books. And I got really, it really piqued my curiosity in the field. And I just kept learning and learning and learning. And, you know, when I got of age, I, you know, my daughter got into it. She's actually a case manager. And, you know, we said, let's form a group and see if we can help some of these people out.
Dave, how did you get involved?
Excuse me?
Well, I had actually gotten started about 5 years ago. I started becoming interested in one paranormal. I was actually a complete skeptic at one time. Like, I was, that's it. I'm not into the paranormal. That's it, you know. And then after my grandmother had passed away, I had a personal experience. Actually, it was about 12:58 was the exact time. I had gotten waken up to a voice that said, "Goodbye, David." I then woke up for briefly, not thinking anything of it, thought I was dreaming. Rolled back over, fell back to sleep. Got a call at 4:45 in the morning that my grandmother passed away. And I found out actually at the funeral. The time of death was 12:58, so that changed everything for me. I got so much into it at one point where I actually started my own group, and then I came along NEPA Paranormal about a year and a half ago, and it's been a great ride ever since.
Now you got how old is the group itself?
The group is about 5.5 years old right now. Actually, we used to go out on our own, my daughter and myself, for, you know, probably about 8 years. I'd say I'm into the field right now.
Now, you guys have come a long way in such a short time. You've done some things that a lot of groups, you know, haven't been able to accomplish in years. You've you have a show, too. If you can talk a little bit, it's Ghost Detectives, right? It's the name of it.
Yeah, that's the name of it. We're on a local TV, the local Fox network up this way in northeastern Pennsylvania. It's called Ghost Detectives. We're on Friday nights at 1 a.m. We're also on another network called ECTV. It's kind of like a public access TV, and I believe they run it 3 times on a Friday for us. And we got that started last year. We were fortunate to meet up with one of our members of our group. We spot him in, and he had a connection with Fox 56, which is the network that we're at. And, you know, we started filming a show. I mean, we put together, in, I think, 5 months, we put together 5 or 11 episodes for our first season.
Now, is that something you guys film yourselves?
Yeah, we do all the work ourselves.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is. So, we do have a professional editor that we do work with. His name is Jeff Crawford. He's from New York, Pennsylvania. He does. He makes us look really good. You know, I've also been working with him on teaching the camera work and different things like that. So it's been quite a great experience, actually. You can just see how we've evolved from the first episode to the, you know, the most recent one, and it's been a great ride so far.
So basically, you're on just the local affiliate of the Fox Network in your area, because that's something. I remember they used to do that like years ago. I had no idea the networks had started going back to local broadcasting, because at least around here they haven't. But hopefully that will spread, because that will give a lot of groups, you know, maybe the opportunity to get on and get out there,
get their message across. Yeah.
When you guys are doing the show, or is it a set theme, or are you trying to show the ghost hunting or the research from one aspect? Like, are you doing the personal side, or are you doing strictly the research side? Yeah, because each show seems to have its own little niche.
I would say that each show has its own little niche. I mean, we do have like a format that we always follow, you know, as far as, you know, the debunking and, you know, a couple times we brought a psychic in. It just to kind of, you know, mix it up a little bit. You know, we like to bring in that side from time to time and see if we can tie in the scientific evidence with it. And now this season here, the first season we were kind of tied up with the network, and we kind of had to do what they wanted and, you know, where we could go, and we had to stay within the 16 counties. But they've actually given us a lot more freedom for this season too. And what we are planning on doing, and, you know, we're pretty much almost booked up for the season, believe it or not, for this next season. We're promoting Paranormal Unity in Pennsylvania. What we're doing is bringing in Pennsylvania groups and featuring them on our show, on their haunts and their evidence. And we're promoting their groups on our show.
Well, that's something you don't see a lot of. I think more recently, I've been around too long, I'm dating myself, but, you know, when I first started, groups would, you know, cut your throat and stab you in the back before they would, you know, share the same cemetery space with you, let alone cooperate on an investigation or promote other groups.
I think groups are starting to find out that they, you know, with help from other groups, they can kind of get themselves out there a little bit more, too.
Yeah, the maturity factor definitely has changed in the people that are out there doing this. And that's that's outstanding to see you guys doing that. Because, I mean, that's just, you know, selflessness, you know?
Yes, it is. Yep, helping the other groups to get started and get out there and get their name where they can help people, definitely.
Sure. And I mean, anybody who's got a group right now, you know, everybody's been in that situation where, you know, people look at you, you get a television show, or you get a radio appearance, you know, they want to cut your throat, like you said, you know, and we're trying to stop all that. We're trying, and I know there's so many groups out there. I don't want any of these groups across Pennsylvania to be mad at us. Eventually, we will get to you, but there's just only so many shows we can do in a season, you know?
Yeah, that's a good way of approaching it, though. I mean, have you encountered any? I always refer to them as the jealous groups. You know, they just need an excuse to be upset, and, you know, another group's good fortune is always a good reason for them to blame for their misfortunes. So have you been getting people, or have you run into it at all? Anybody, like, you know, ill will, or, you know, the people bad-mouthing you online and all that kind of stuff?
No. Actually, we haven't run into that yet, and that's why I'm kind of, you know, telling everybody out there, hey, it's not that I'm skipping you or anything like that. It's just that there's so many groups out there that it's very hard to, you know what I mean, get everybody at one shot. I mean, I probably put out a couple hundred emails, and I know I didn't even hit half of the groups in Pennsylvania.
Man, that's
there are, I will say this, from what my experience from online and things that I've seen, there are groups out there that are very territorial, though. I don't want to say we shy away from them, but there are those people out there that are like that. I mean, that's reality of it.
It really isn't as bad as it used to be. It's almost night and day. And more people taking the approach that you guys are taking. And it's something that, you know, I've always tried to do. I've always tried to work with people starting out and helping them along. And, you know, through the store here has actually just given me another whole venue to do that, because now they're coming in and I'm getting to spend time with them, helping them pick out the equipment. I'd rather, you know, I personally would rather them walk out with the right equipment and feel comfortable with, you know, than walk out with something that costs more. Because, you know, that's bad business, but it's still, it's not the right thing to do overall, because we're all in the same field. We're all doing exactly the same thing. Other people right, out there right. doing it the same way, you know, with the same methodologies, only benefiting all, you know, everybody else.
So right. definitely, I'm and a lot of these groups, you know, they're just starting out. They're really not that educated as far as helping people out yet. And, you know, that's where we're going to try to coach them along a little bit. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, we know more than anybody else, but just, you know, from our past experience, what we've had and what we've dealt with, I mean, some methods work and some methods don't. You know, it's good to share this with other people. And believe me, I've already learned, we've already worked with a couple groups already, and I've already learned some stuff, you know. So it's working both ways.
Yeah, it's always good to be open-minded like that, because you're never going to, there's no experts in this field. You can learn from someone who just started yesterday. They might teach you something new. You got to be able to be open to that. There's, yeah,
exactly.
Check your egos at the door, and, you know.
It's all about the client, helping the client out so that they don't have to deal with what we dealt with as we were growing up, you know, without the help.
Yeah, you guys do private houses now too, right? In addition to all this, you still doing the regular caseload?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, it's, you know, we kind of take all the caseload. We have somebody who's helping us out now because we really got backlogged, you know, with the last season. It was really tough to handle. I mean, we were going every weekend before we started the show, and now we're filming twice a week with the show. It's been pretty tough, you know. So we try to take the more extreme cases, you know, that people really need help with. And, you know, in this other group that's working with us right now, we're kind of coaching them along, trying to, you know, they're helping us, we're helping them.
You guys follow a lot of similar things, that exactly the way what we do, you know, with helping the groups, bring them along a little bit, and then start, you know, funneling cases their way. Because then eventually it's helping yourself, because it's going to take the load off of you. We'd never be able to do our caseload if we didn't have, you know, four or five other groups, you know, taking the caseload and helping us out.
Right, right. Yeah, it's not easy. People don't think there's a lot of it out there, but there is a lot of it out there. You know, as far as competition, I think there's plenty of cases to go around for everybody, believe me. I don't know if it's because of all these shows that are out there now that, you know, I know we find out that, you know, a lot of things can be explained. And, you know, at one time, maybe somebody did have one small paranormal experience, but everything kind of escalates now, you know?
Well, I think since the show started, we saw an increase. But, you know, before, I guess we relied on, you know, October and, you know, times of the year to really take advantage of the free publicity.
Yeah.
So the more you did that, the more you got your name out. It was more word of mouth. Now, it's like they know there's groups out there. So the people are more readily searching for them. So if you have your, you know, website out there, and that benefits the people who know what they're doing, but it also, you know, helps the people who don't know what they're doing. Do you run into a lot of cases where, you know, another inexperienced group's been out before you and, you know, maybe not handled the situation right, and you have to go in and kind of mop up the mess?
We've had a couple like that. You know, for the most part, we've never actually said that, hey, you know, they should have did this or they should have did that to help you guys out. We just kind of, you know, just swept it under the rug for them. You know what I mean? We're not about bashing any groups or anything like that, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, we usually just, you know, explain to them in different situations that, you know, it's like, you know, everybody maybe gets something a little bit different as far as evidence goes. You know, maybe their take on things were a little bit different. You know, we just kind of give them a little bit different perspective on things.
That's good, too. I mean, you guys are definitely like the middle of the road there. You're not taking sides.
Yeah,
you're the nice guy paranormal group here. You're putting a lot of groups to shame, especially with the way it used to be. I mean, Can't even explain it to people because you really had to live through it when it was like the cutthroat kind of times. What kind of places are you doing basically for the show? Are you doing like local historic places or public places, or are you going into the houses too?
We're doing a little bit of everything right now. I would say it's more or less, how can I put this? They're more like local haunts to people. Out of the 11 shows that we've actually done, I think we've only got evidence out of 5, which I think it kind of gives our show the integrity. You know what I mean? And it shows, it's more raw. It's real.
Right.
You know, we're going and investigating, and, you know, it doesn't happen all the time.
And people need to understand that because they watch the other shows and every week something comes up or they find something, and that doesn't work that way, yeah.
Right. And, you know, just because we didn't get any evidence there, we do a lot of historical stuff on the buildings and, you know, we're doing interviews and claims and, you know, we try to debunk all that. And sometimes people are happier with, you know, an explanation as to why the elevator door is opening for no reason, you know?
Definitely. That's one thing you notice with the other the shows. Not to criticize any of the shows, but it's unrealistic when every week you find that much evidence. And, you know, there are people out there that believe that you've gathered that evidence in 45 minutes. They don't realize that the week of investigating and prep time and all the other stuff that goes into an episode. We had Paul Bradford on that or 2 weeks ago, and they do the 30-minute episodes with each location. And one 30-minute episode is 1 week of filming. How much time goes in for you guys just to do one show?
Well, I mean, we were kind of pressed this first season. We just kind of dove into it. We really didn't know where we were going with the show, I'll be honest with you. But, as it went along, we got some guidance. And, we usually film 2 days. I know it's not a lot, but, I mean, with all the recorders that we have going, all the audio, all the video, it's a lot of effort to go over for 10 people.
I
would say it's a total of about 8 to 10 hours of video footage, and audio must be about 40 hours.
And then the actual time you're investigating all that, too.
Yeah. It's roughly between 8 to 10 hours, yeah.
That's amazing. You guys even are out there to do any regular cases. You think the burnout factor would be starting to kick in.
Yeah, really.
I'm getting tired.
Well, yeah, because there's usually multiple groups, and we usually have 2 cameras going, so it's actually more footage than that.
Right.
But the actual investigation time, yeah.
Hey, you make a good point that a lot of people who come in and buy the video systems here, they don't realize. You know, you buy a 4-camera system, hook up to a DVR, and record all night, 12 hours. What's 12 hours times 4? So now you're not watching 12 hours of video, you're watching 48 hours of video. So,
right.
They don't necessarily plan that. Maybe they had the 2 audio recorders recording the whole time, too. So that's a lot of you're reliving the whole event over and over and over again, the whole investigation. Something to think about when people are starting out. Maybe you don't want to go, hog wild with, 8 cameras.
Set all that up first. First learn how to do the small evidence and then worry about, the 12 and 14 hours worth of.
Now, you guys are, you seem to approach it a lot from the scientific point of view. Are you, strictly scientific?
I would say we're very open-minded. We Bob had said earlier, we do have worked with psychics before. We also do use, I know Katie, wonderful Katie that she is, and our case manager that does a lot of this work for us. She definitely, we experiment with dowsing rods. She uses them quite a bit. Actually, we had a segment in our first episode with her with the dowsing rods. So we do some different things too, not just straight science.
That's good. It's hard when you're going, especially when you're going into private houses. Sometimes the scientific approach isn't a helpful bedside manner.
It's a little scary to people when you walk in with all that equipment and cables and everything else.
Because especially the people who are concerned or not willing to admit how scared they are, that sometimes the ghost hunters themselves become, you know, part of the fear factor. So you got to be able to tone down sometimes and adapt. So the open mindedness, you know, definitely helps. That's I always ask, because one of my pet peeves is the ones that are hardcore scientific method.
Right.
You know, and it's a laboratory, and it's, you can never do scientific method truly in a private house, because you don't have controls and you don't have all the other things you really need.
No, you don't.
So it's you know, we're doing quasi science as it is.
Yeah, it's all pretty much theoretical. Yeah.
That's good to hear with the open mind. You have when do you start filming for the second season, or have you already started that?
We already have one that we've actually filmed. We're going to start middle of August, I think we're going to start. And it's probably, the second season is going to probably start the first week in October. I'm pretty sure we have 13 booked right now, 12 or 13. But we'd like to go to 15 or 16 for an episode, for a season.
Now, do you have places already scoped out? You have anything interesting coming up?
Actually, yeah, we do. One of our opening shows is going to be at the Red Mill. We're supposed to be in there in September. That's in New Jersey, actually. So that's where the kind of the freedom came. You know what I mean? Giving us a little bit of freedom to get out of our 16 counties. And we're actually talking with another TV network right now. I believe we're down by you guys, Fox 43. Are they down your way?
I know we're in the Philadelphia market, so it's Fox 29 here.
Yeah.
Oh, Fox 29.
That might be closer to...
Yeah. I think that was more towards Allentown, Lehigh, and down that way.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, we're actually negotiating with all the Fox networks. We're trying, you know, the ultimate goal for us is actually to get syndicated, but you know, we all know how that goes, and it's like a needle in a haystack. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a tough. You know, you guys are definitely making headway. A lot of the groups are doing kind of what you're doing now. You're making it on TV. A lot of the ones are doing, like, instead of doing podcasts, you know, they're doing the TV shows on the internet TV networks.
Yeah,
and it's another venue to get, you know, out there. Actually, I think that the people going towards that are probably going to be more mainstream in a few years. People are going to watch more and more TV style shows on the computer than they are on the actual TV.
Right, yeah,
I know,
right.
I watch more stuff on my on demand and on my DVR than I do actually live television.
Yeah, people aren't home long enough to watch TV anymore.
So that's a whole other venue you guys could think of.
Another
too.
Thing that we try to do, we try to get our episodes out there right now. All our episodes are either on our website or up on our Facebook page. You can actually watch them all in HD.
Oh, nice.
I'll have to check that out.
Definitely.
I was perusing, I just did the search on YouTube for videos, and I was searching through a lot of your videos. You guys have also been on, you guys have kind of done what we've done with the appearances on different shows. I saw you were on Animal Planet's show.
I saw them on Ghost Adventures. Yeah,
that's right, Ghost Adventures too. So
we were definitely on Animal. That was a lot of work for a half hour show. You were talking about, you know, how long it took. We had 78 hours into that show for a half hour episode. I mean, it was just absolutely insane.
Now, is that the one you had the issue with the ovulus?
Yes, it was. I actually had sent that ovulus back to Bill Chappell, the guy who makes them, and he said he ran 122 tests on it, and he says, I have no clue.
Since we don't have the video to play,
because
it'd be pointless, because you gotta see it. But can you explain kind of what happened? Because I wasn't expecting as big of a deal when I read the little info about the clip. But I was, like, shocked.
Yeah.
It was definitely interesting.
Right. Well, we like I said, we were for doing a show for the Animal Planet, and we were at a bar in Easton, Pennsylvania. And this used to be an old gangster bar. And at one time, you know, the mob boss ran this bar, and this guy, they called him Johnny the Wop. He was messy figure out the guy's daughter, the boss's daughter, and, you know, you just didn't do that without him knowing or his giving his permission or anything. And he found out, and he put a hit on him right inside the bar. And there used to be, like, an old telephone booth there, and they shot him there. He fell down the steps right into the cellar, and they left him there for 3 days. Actually, the beer guy or something found him 3 days later in the cellar. But the day that that happened, it was 80 days or 80 years to the day of his death. And we were down there, and it was pretty quiet that night, actually. And, you know, the guy says, hey, can you, you know, do anything to get this thing riled up? And I said, you know what, we don't normally do any kind of provoking like that. But, you know, I started bringing out the mob boss, you know, the mob names, call him a rat and a squealer. And I was trying to draw it out as much as I could. I mean, I was saying a few nasty things that I shouldn't have been saying. And I had the obelisk in my hand. And all of a sudden, it just started making, like, this really weird noise, like almost like a buzzing noise, you know, like bees were coming. And all of a sudden, it just, I can't describe. I mean, it only operates on a 9-volt battery. Actually, what it felt like was, you know how when you put that 9-volt battery on your tongue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it felt like on my hand. I mean, it scared the crap out of me. I jumped up out of the seat. I said, what the heck? You know, the first time.
Yeah, you can tell that there was, it was genuine surprise.
TV, you know?
Yeah, whoever, if you guys haven't seen that that clip on YouTube, you want to look that one up. Because you can see there's genuine surprise in Bob's voice when that he gets a shock from the ovulus. And that's cool, too, that you've had it checked out by the you know, the designer and builder, and he's saying there's nothing wrong with it. That's, you know, that kind of...
That's good evidence.
Yeah. you were the evidence, though.
Yeah.
That was very proactive ghost hunting there, being a part of the evidence.
To say the least. And actually, before that, what had happened before that, we were doing an EVP session in a different part of that cellar down there, and we were seeing shadows, but we just couldn't catch them on the camera. It was just happening so fast, and, you know, different parts of the room. And the obvious said whacked, which that word does not exist, you know, in its vocabulary.
That's it. We have the PX.
Yeah.
And we pretty much use it not on maybe like private house cases, but we use it more for like if we're in a historic place and stuff, and we want to just, you know, do some experimenting. But I know the one time I had it at, when I first got it, I had it at my house, and we were talking about my wife and her grandmother had passed away, I guess a few months earlier, and we were calling our little chihuahua, what she used to call him, little boy, and the PX was just sitting on my computer not saying anything for probably about like an hour or so, and all of a sudden it said Nacho. Now, that's his name, and I'm pretty sure Nacho is not in the vocabulary either. Yeah, that really blows me away when you get the word that's not supposed to be able to be said by these devices, you know, and they say it. So that's always amazing. He's got some good stuff. I see you guys are using the other thing, too, it's the EMF Vortex.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, had any interesting results with that?
We had a little, I mean, not too much, I'll be honest with you. We haven't had too much. I'm sorry. What was that again?
With the EMF Vortex. Have you had anything?
The EMF pump, you mean?
Yeah, the pump.
Yeah,
we really haven't got too much with that. I mean, we've been really trying to push it. We actually have another one, the older model. We've had a lot more success with that one. The newer one, I don't know what it is with that one. For some reason, we really haven't gotten in a situation where we've gotten too much yet. I mean, we've gotten a few good EVPs, but, you know, it's not on a consistent basis all the time. Like, the other pump, the older pump, it definitely works really well.
Now, you guys were on Ghost Adventures, too.
Yeah.
I watched part of that clip there when you had you win as, like, an expert, basically,
yeah, yeah.
To review the evidence they had.
They called me in for an evidence review for Casa de San Marcos, the Fort Diamond, Florida down there. Mm-hmm. And that was definitely an interesting time, I'll tell you. We drove down to Philly. We met them down in Philly down there, and we shot everything right there. I'll tell you what, that they kind of inspired us for the show because, you know, they're kind of like us. They do all their own work. They do all their own, you know, filming, all their own editing. You know, they listen to all their own evidence. They're kind of in the same boat we are.
So there's the conspiracy theory right there that yeah. Best Adventures doesn't really do all that stuff. There's other cameramen and other producers out there with them. You're saying that officially that's not the case. They're really filming thing themselves.
It's definitely not the case. I mean, you know, I would have never believed it if I didn't see it with my own eyes, you know.
That's why I always used to watch Survivor Man on Discovery Channel. And I always used to, you know, find it hard to believe he was out there by himself. And you'd see him walk and put the camera down
and walk away from it, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, that is, you know, it's, you're doing two jobs all the time, trying to investigate while you're trying to make sure you get the shot and everything
else. And how hard is that going to be, trying to get evidence when you're trying to make sure that, you know, like you said, you get the right shot and you hear everybody and...
Yeah, how hard is it to get the evidence while you're trying to pay attention to everything else? You guys are doing it. You know, how distracting is it?
It's very distractive. I mean, sometimes, you know, you're trying to line up the shot. Dave, you know, he's our videographer. He sometimes comes off as being a bad person as far as placing people, you know. But we've really gotten used to all that, and you know, he does a great job for us. He really does. I mean, he's come a long way with the video editing and you know, setting up the shots. But even he'll try to jump in. You know, you'll go and you'll set up the shot, and then you're you know, it's just so tough. You have to go from one mode to the next. You know, you got to go from investigating right back to video editing or videography or, you know, setting up the next shot.
Yeah, so I can't imagine. I've done, you know, some shows, Travel Channel, National Geographic, things. Mm-hmm. You know, Marty was there with the National Geographic shoot, which was 1 week for probably about maybe a 5-minute appearance on a show.
Yeah, right.
You know, it was 1 week of filming at Eastern State Penitentiary. But it's all the stuff that's going on all around you. It's like the spontaneity. And when people watch that, they don't realize that, you know, sometimes where you're standing, I mean, everything's all scripted out. It's because you have to get it in a watchable format.
And you don't get the focus on what you're doing at all. I mean, you can't focus on what you're feeling or, you know, what's going on around you sometimes.
Is there going to be a bloopers reel from the show?
Oh, there definitely is a bloopers reel. It's already coming out.
Oh, good.
That will be out very soon. And I've heard a lot about it already, and I'm not too happy about it.
You're in a lot of the bloopers, huh?
You know, you think back and he says, hey, I got you on this shot, I got you on that shot, and, you know, I got Dave doing this, I got Mark doing that. I'm like, oh, my God, I forgot about all that. Why did you save it, you know?
To adjust this moment.
You know what? I think that would be a great show. No one's going after the real comedy part of, you know, the ghost hunting. Just all the bloopers from all different groups. You submit, like, your funniest home videos.
There you go.
But only the paranormal version, you know? Because I know just stuff that's happened with us. You know, I remember I walked right off a stage in the dark.
I remember that, yep.
Even though there was, like, lighted tape, like, glow-in-the-dark tape to mark the edges, you know, I still walked completely off and landed on my back. They got that on film, too.
Yeah.
But that hasn't popped up anywhere. But, you know, maybe we could bring that out with the, you know, do a blooper show. That would definitely be something. That would even catch on YouTube, I think.
I think so.
Because I can only watch so many, you know, after doing this so long, you need something a little different to watch. You don't want to watch an orb fly by. Sometimes even just watching something move slightly, you know, you want to see something a little different.
The lighter side of ghost hunting.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. The lighter side. We are, you know, we're just like everybody else, you know. It's not all serious, sitting in the dark, going, what was that? Did you hear that? You know, it's a little bit more than that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there's also the lighter moments, too, when you kind of have to let go of all that excess pent-up energy of just sitting quiet for 3 or 4 hours. It's got all that energy has to go somewhere. Do you guys all go out as a, you know, is the group transcend into like the social realm too? You guys go and hang out after or on your off days, or are you just tired of seeing each other from doing the show and the investigations? You don't want to see each other until the next time around.
No, we all pretty much hang out with each other. I mean, you know, there's different age groups in our group for sure. You know, two of the guys in here are my best friends. You know, my daughter is part of our team. My wife is part of our team. Mark, he's a really great friend. He'll do anything for the group. We have a professional photographer. His name is Steve. He does a fantastic job, and I can't praise these guys enough on this team, because, you know, without them, you know, this never would have happened, you know, without us all pulling together like this.
See, that's why you guys are successful, because you've found the key. When people ask me, you know, what is like one of the things you need to do to become like a successful team, it's you really have to go beyond just the team aspect of it. You have to almost become family.
Right, yeah.
And the groups that are like that and are that tight, you know, knit and socialize after the cases and hang out and talk and are really, you know, good friends, they're the ones that make it and then are successful. And they make it look easy doing it. And I think that drives other groups crazy that are just people that are forced together or just, you know, they only meet, you know, once a month. You know, to go out ghost hunting, that's it. And that's more of, you know, it's still...
That's more of a hobby.
Yeah, I'd say more of a hobbyist kind of thing. It's hard to get that, get the flow going with people that you don't know that well.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things how when we bring new people in, why we train them so thoroughly, so we can really get to know them and know how they're going to react, but to get to know them personally too, because we're adopting them in our family.
Yeah, they got to have your back in the dark, definitely.
Yeah.
I
truly believe that. That's why we get so much evidence we get, because, you know, when we go into a place where we're all at ease, you can see we're like a family. You know what I mean? The way we talk to each other, it's not all business all the time. But it's not all playing games either. You know what I mean? When it's time to get down to business, it's time to get down to business, you know?
Well, I've noticed over the years, just when, you know, we have a fairly large group and, you know, we have, you know, people come and go. But during the times when there's been like where the group's been really, really, really close and really tight, that you can probably look back and see it in our evidence that's probably when we've gotten some of our best stuff.
Yeah.
So really, it does translate that way. Whether it's something you're putting out, the positive emotions, or, you know, the spirits aren't put off by you because they see how comfortable you are with each other. I mean, there's something to it. I think that's a key aspect of having a successful team.
Right, right. Well, we're planning next week, I believe, the whole group is going down to this theme park. We usually do that once a year. We kind of unwind. That's our unwinding day.
I've been trying to set up. See, now.
Oh, no.
I have not heard this one yet. For probably like 8 years. And it just never pans out. Every year, at least once a year, I send something out. Let's go to a theme park.
You haven't heard it either? Okay, because I'm not crazy. Then.
So we usually dress up as pirates once a year and have a big pirate party. That's how our big unwinding for the year.
Yes.
It's tomatoes kind of deal.
I've seen the pirate party online.
Yes, yes, you've seen our pictures, yes.
Yeah, I was married as a pirate. You know, we take it to the extreme. So, and everyone's warned when they join, you know. You better get a pirate costume because you're going to need one.
Or you will walk the plank.
Dave, we need to be invited for that pirate party. I always wanted to wear a patch.
I think we're going to be expanding it this year, because I definitely saw we had our grand reopening a few weeks ago, and I saw a bunch of people in here that had a little paratitude to them. So I think we might be expanding the guest list this year.
We'll get you on the list there.
Yeah, we'll definitely. You get a VIP guest list.
There you go.
That'd be great.
Hey, let's talk about your...
He dropped the phone call, so he's not on with us. He's going crazy here trying to call you guys.
Yeah, I've been waiting for him to pop back up, but I don't see it.
Well, he keeps calling. I guess it's not going through.
Yeah, it's not coming on the screen at all. Let's talk about the Vortex Ghost Gear. You are a supplier for the store.
Yes.
Some of the best full spectrum and IR illuminators.
The stuff I highly recommend to everybody.
If you're looking for something that's, when people say, I usually ask, where are you going to be? Are you going to be in like large places that you need well lit? And if that's the case, you know, if they're doing large areas, which, you know, and you're going to anything like Eastern State Penn or they're doing outside, mm-hmm. I think your illuminator, really, honestly, I can say, is the only one that I can use if I'm outside in like a battlefield or a cemetery that actually goes out and illuminates stuff at a distance.
Yeah.
All the other ones, they're pretty much made for indoor use. So you get maybe like 10 feet, 12 feet, and that's it. And it just drops off in the blackness. Yours illuminates everything out there. And it's still not over bright where it doesn't wash out everything when you're in a smaller area too.
Yeah, I've never been in a room where I've actually washed anything out. I haven't been able to take a good picture. No.
You guys use them with modified cameras too, or do you use them with your stationary infrared cameras? How do you use them?
We kind of use them just about everywhere. You know, the ones that I sell online, you know, naturally they're fantastic for outside. Like you said, when you have to get a long haul shot, or, you know, you're out in the cemetery somewhere, I actually have some new models now that are a lot brighter and get out a lot further. The only thing that they don't do is, you know, like you said, illuminate a room. We do, you know, use a couple other different brands, believe it or not, only because I haven't had the time to really develop anything like that yet. I need to get back to that. I have been working on a special project, and I'm going to be sending you guys one of them out there. I want you guys to try this out.
We love new toys.
Yes, we love when you send new toys to us.
I'll tell you, though, it's...
It's like Christmas here, then.
I use different brands, too, because I have about three or four different ones, because each location is different. But it's nice to know when you go into... I mean, we do some big places. We've done some, like, this at Smithville Mansion with the barn. Mm-hmm. It's an old... actually, it used to be a horse... the stables underneath.
Stable, mm-hmm.
The barn's the second floor, and it's got two empty floors above it where you can see right to the ceiling. And nothing could touch up there. I mean, you could barely get your flashlight to shine up to the top. But the infrared illuminator, you can see, like, almost the, you know, all the grain of the wood on the flanks on the roof.
Well, that's at the prison, too. You can see from one end to the other with that illuminator.
Yeah, down the cell
box.
Most
of them, you can't. They cut off maybe 2-3 cells, and you're done.
And so those of you who wonder, you know, when you see the different illuminators on, you know, Bob here is the designer and developer and builder of the Vortex Ghost Gear. And you said you're working on some new models too, or the...
I actually, you know, I have the 5 LED right now, and the full spectrum. I actually came out with a 9 LED It's unbelievable, the brightness on it. I mean, you know, if you're going out and doing a cemetery, you know how hard it is to film outdoors with infrared. You need something to bounce, you know what I mean, up walls or something like that. And it's this illuminator is just unbelievable. It doesn't quite get the 4 or 5 hours like the other one. You're probably looking at 2 hours on a battery, a 9-volt battery. But
easily replaced, you know, pop another one in and you're good to go for another 2 hours. So.
But I have worked, on another project, and you know, I didn't want to put it out there because I'm actually afraid to put it out there right now because I know what's going to happen with it. It's going to go absolutely bonkers. We have got a lot of evidence with this. And like I said, I will be sending you one in the mail.
Cool.
And I want you to try this out.
We love test driving stuff.
It's going to absolutely blow your mind.
I'll get it first because you're not here, so...
Sure, Marnie always test drives my stuff. I still haven't used my thermal imager, really. I think one investigation I've used it.
I didn't know you bought it for you. I thought you bought it for me.
I might as well put your name on it.
I know, right?
I have to have, like, I guess I'm an equipment collector. I have to have, I'm like a hoarder. I'm a Ghost Gear hoarder.
Yes.
I have to have one of everything. So it's like, you know, it's impossible for me to use even, like, a fraction of anything I have on one investigation, so I just let the group just By the way, my co-director of my group's sitting here out here, and I have your mail meter in the back there. So, because I keep changing models and going up and up, so I just want to get rid of the older ones.
Take the thermal when you're tired of it.
Can you, Bob, can you go give us the times again and the channels we can see the show?
Sure. It's on Fox 56 in northeastern Pennsylvania. It's on Friday nights at 1 a.m. It's on ECTV, it's called. It's public access in Scranton, Pennsylvania. They run that at 2 p.m., 8 p.m., and 4 a.m. And if you want to see any of our episodes, they are online. We're at ghostdetectives.tv, or you can go to our Facebook, and every episode is on our Facebook page. Just click the episodes, and they're all in HD.
That's why I think I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to hook my go on. Are they on YouTube on HD? Are they available on YouTube?
We have a few on YouTube. It's just that we have a Vimeo channel now, and you can get the whole episode.
Gotcha.
Without any interruptions. I think it's just a lot more professional on there. We do have, I think, one or two up there right now on YouTube. It's just that the quality just isn't there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. See, now I'm getting jealous now. Get the HD videos up too. That's really cool. So that's the presentation and everything. The better you present that stuff, people can tell. The quality of it and the quality of the work
of the group that's doing it. Yeah,
exactly.
Definitely.
If people want to get a hold of you for your products. We sell them at the store. I was looking to see if you had them listed on your group's website. I didn't see a link on there though. You want to give a little info out for the group's website and any of the gear too?
Yeah. I mean, I do have a website for the gear. It's vortexghostgear.com. And I believe we have some on our NEPA Paranormal site too. I'm not sure. I haven't been on there in a while. I'll be honest with you.
I was when I did. I know just when I was doing the Google search to find some stuff, I was amazed at how much stuff, how high you guys came up, and all the volume of stuff that was out there. Especially for you guys, you're an established group, but you're still a young group,
right?
And that's you could just tell the amount of work you really put into it.
Yeah.
Because
the passion. Yeah.
Yeah, people who don't have that kind of footprint on the internet. Of all the evidence and everything, and without really putting their hearts into it. I have another question now because I just thought of the other video I couldn't think of. There was one video, I think it was a private house, but the someone was, I think it might have been your daughter sitting on a bed, and you're filming, but the door, or it's a static cam, but a door opens, like closet doors opening and closing, and it said that happened a few more times. Did you guys ever figure out a natural cause for that?
Did we what? I'm sorry.
Did you guys ever figure out if there was a natural cause for that, or was that something that you guys determined was unexplainable?
No, there was definitely no natural cause for that particular thing. There was an attic on the other side of that. It was like one of those attics, up in your ceiling where you just pushed a wooden door to the side.
Like a little crawl space or whatever?
Yeah.
I couldn't even fit through it. That's how it was so tiny, mm-hmm. But... a couple of our investigators, we stuck a camera up in there, and every time somebody stuck their hand up in there, something seemed to grab it. And I said, "Get the heck out of here!" And I said, "Give me that camera. I'm going up there." because nobody wanted to really stick it up there. They said it was cold and bony and clammy. And I said, "Give me it." I go up there. I stick my hand up there. I couldn't believe it. Something grabbed my hand. I was like blown away. But I didn't say nothing to anybody at the time. I didn't want to, totally freak them out. But
now, I did see that. I did see part of that, too. That's the same house, huh? That's a pretty... I saw that part of that clip, too, where you said your hand was grabbed. Because you guys had a couple clips, I guess, from that same house. That's a real active... that's cool. The door thing kind of blew me away, because it's one of the best shots.
Yeah.
With a static cam right on it, where you see the door, close.
Yeah.
And it's... you know, you're like going like, you know, looking at it, it's like, no, it didn't disclose, did it? You know? It's like you're in the scene when it's happening. That's right, some really good evidence.
Well, I'll tell you what, that particular case was a completely heartbreaking case for us. This lady was 85 years old. She was kind of hard of hearing, but she was as sharp as a tack. I mean, nothing was getting by her. And we got there, we set up the DVR and everything, and we went downstairs and we're talking to her a little bit, you know, trying to, you know, get some information out of her. And it sounded like somebody drugged the bed from one end of the house to the other on the floor above us. And we looked at her, and she didn't have, not even flinch. She never heard a thing.
Oh, wow.
I guess that's a good thing.
Blown away, you know? And she kept telling me that this thing was talking to her. It was mocking her while she was reciting the Bible. You know, she was legitimately scared. And I'm thinking, wow, this thing is really, you know, in her mind, you know, as far as trying to talk to her. Because if this thing is trying to get its point across by dragging furniture over her head, she's not hearing anything, you know?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Well, that might have been just for you guys.
We were actually back there, I'm going to say, 7 or 8 times to help her out. You know, we thought we got rid of it with a psychic. We thought we crossed it over. Things settled down for like 6 months. Then they'd start up again. And, you know, from the last thing that we actually done, we had a priest involved with the house clearing and all that. Actually, there was 2 priests. And things seem to really calm down now. You know, it was frustrating for us because we didn't really get a lot of EVP evidence, but we got a lot of, like, furniture moving evidence, you know?
But you know what? You handled it the right way, which a lot of other groups, again, probably would not do. People think it's all about getting the evidence, but when you sign up to go help somebody, sometimes you sacrifice the ability to get some of that evidence in order to help them. And the fact you guys went back that many times, too.
And you realized you had to keep going back until it was done, you know.
Right, you didn't just give up.
Right.
And just you know, let her go. I mean, that's really great, too. And more groups need to, like, take your example and learn from it. That, you know, when you're going to deal with people in their houses, you know, you're in it for the long haul. If you're saying you're going to help them, then you should help them until, you know, they can get to a spot or at least a conclusion that everyone can live with.
Or until they say thank you and, you know, we're good.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah, it's not all about just getting evidence, you know.
Unfortunately, that is not shared with a lot of people out there. And I think that's, you know, if there is anything that's, there's positives and negatives from, you know, all the stuff that's out there on TV and the media now with, you know, covering ghost hunting. And I think a lot of it, that's why I was impressed with you guys saying that you only 5 of your episodes you got some evidence. That shows that, you know, the reality of it. The other shows make it seem like it's so easy, and the focus is put all on the evidence that the, you know, people tend to forget about the human side of it.
How many ghost hunts have we done and we've had people walk out and say this is boring? Yeah, it is.
Exactly.
Sure is. Sometimes.
I tell people before they join, it's like you want to sit in the dark for hours and be like on a, you know, surveillance or a stakeout with nothing happening, then this is for you. This is exactly what you want to do. You know, it might be a few minutes of excitement, and it might not even be at the case. It might be when you get home and listen to your, you know, audio or review the video. So it's like it's delayed hours or days later. You know, but it's not as exciting as everyone makes it out to be sometimes.
But, right. Right.
Yeah, that's.
I get really excited when I find a great EVP. I mean, sometimes, you know, it'll be 2 or 3 in the morning, and I'm like waking everybody up in the house. I'm like, you gotta hear what I found. You gotta hear this. You know.
We're gonna have to have you guys on again, and you know, maybe feature some of your EVPs on a show.
Sure.
We're gonna plan to do a show soon with you know, maybe 1 or 2 groups featuring some of their best EVPs.
Yeah, sounds good.
Because that's a. That to me, that's one of the, short of the apparition photos or the real good video shots of stuff moving and everything. I mean, the EVPs are probably right up there with the top of the evidence, especially, you know, ones that there are bulletproof that you can't shoot holes in at all.
And you know they're interacting with you. It's not.
Yeah, they're answering. It's an intelligent haunting. Yeah. It's definitely interacting with you. I mean, to me, they're, you're right. There's nothing like that. You get something like that, and it's amazing because there is no explanation for it. Even the worst skeptic is hard pressed, you know, to find an explanation for what's going on. Bob, we're coming to the end of the show. I really appreciate you guys coming on. I know Dave and Mark are there with you still, so tell them thanks. And next time we'll work on a better connection so we can get all three of you on at the same time.
Okay.
I really appreciate you guys being on. And
it was good to talk to you.
And we'll definitely have you guys on again.
And I'm looking forward to that new merchandise.
Yeah, definitely. We'll be watching it every day, waiting for it. All right, Bob, you take care.
Thanks for having us.
Take it easy.
Bye. Hi, everybody. That was Bob Christopher from NEPA Paranormal. That's going to do it for our show this evening. We will be back next week. And who's our guest next week? Is it from Canada? Do we have a guest from Canada?
Yeah, John Metzer from Canada.
Okay.
Canadian.
The Toronto group, right?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to have a real cool guest on. Some interesting theories, too, right? On
EVPs. EVPs. He does a lot of EVP work, yeah.
So if you're interested in EVPs, I think this is going to be a show to listen to. So until next week, this is Dave and Marty signing off.